Welcome to Career Tours. This is Wendy.
And this is Kate.
Today's cast, how to leverage your empty disk now for career growth, Hi-I.
The questions this cast answers are, how can a Hi-I adapt their natural style to achieve greater career success? What strategies can Hi-I personalities use to overcome their blind spots? And how can Hi-Is break through career plateaus?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Hey, Lone Star State. I'm hosting an EMC and ECC in Austin this July. We'll be here in Austin the 15th and 16th of July. You can come out and learn the next steps to becoming a more effective professional with effective manager and communications training courses. Austin's a great town, and we'd love to host you. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Career growth comes from two things, leveraging your strengths and mitigating your weaknesses, all of those things that get in your own way. And we all have a wide array of strengths, especially the Hi-Is, because they're the most awesome.
Obviously.
But choosing which ones to leverage for your career growth it could be overwhelming. I don't think Hi-Is are often overwhelmed, but just choosing the right one rather than wasting a lot of energy by using a strength that doesn't get you as far in your career can be hard. So in this cast, we're going to suggest just four targeted strategies to work with your natural tendencies as a Hi-I to accelerate your growth.
Before we get into our four strategies, though, we're going to give you a quick introduction to DISC. Then we're going to talk about setting specific goals, using connections strategically, follow through, and quantifying your achievements.
Yeah. So before we start, just in case you don't know what DISC is, or that isn't familiar, you don't know what a Hi-I is, we're going to explain that quickly. You can fast forward if you already heard this. So DISC is a behavioral assessment tool that uses two axes to identify each person's preferred style of communication and the way they think about the world. So the first axis is assertive reserved. So at one end, there's assertive people, and at the other end, there's reserved people. And the other axis is task focused and people focused. So one end, there's all the task focused people, and the other end is the people focused people. The people like Hi-Is who are assertive, speak loudly and quickly. They make large gestures and they believe that they can change the environment around them. So when a Hi-I walks into a meeting that looks like it's going to be boring, a Hi-I believes that they can change everything and make this meeting fun. The other styles don't believe that. The people that are reserved speak more cautiously, more slowly, more quietly. They make small gestures, and they believe that one person's wants don't outweigh the needs of the many. So they will think, if this is the right atmosphere for this meeting, then I'm going to go along with that, rather than always wanting to change it up. So high Ds and Is are assertive, and high Ss and Cs are reserved.
Mm-hmm. And there's the other axis. There's those that are focused on tasks that need to be done, and they ask what needs to be done and will mentally check that off the list. Whereas on the other end of that axis, there are people-focused individuals who ask, who is here? And will take the time to connect before they begin work. High Ds and high Cs are task-focused, and high Is and high Ss are people-focused. So the people that we're speaking to in this cast are people-focused, are high Is. They love the humans. When you put these two axes together, high Ds are assertive and task-focused, high Is are assertive and people-focused, high Ss are reserved and people-focused, and high Cs are reserved and task-focused. So that's our DISC intro. Hopefully that helps you get a sense of where you're at versus like what we're talking about in this cast, or if this cast is about you, then gives you a sense of how what we're going to say next applies to you based on DISC and its understanding of your tendencies and how you're going to behave most of the time.
Predictions.
Yeah, predictions. Exactly.
It's a very $5 word. And if you don't know any more about empty disk and you don't know which style you are, that if you go to the Manager Tools website, look in the top navigation for empty disk profile. You can take your profile. It'll take 20 minutes and you'll know more about yourself, or you'll be shocked that we know so much about you just from answering a few questions in 20 minutes. And it will tell you a lot about how you communicate with others and why you might struggle with communicating with some people. So let's talk about the high eyes. The high eyes love that we're talking about them. The other styles aren't so bothered, but the high eyes like that we talk about them.
Yeah. My profile has long been high D, high I, so I'm here for it. I'm ready.
Yeah. I'm just all high D. Just get out of my way. I'm doing things and I'm not going to stop and talk to you. But the high eyes want me to stop and talk to you, so I'm going to. So our first guidance for the high eyes is set specific goals. Because a high eyes naturally assertive and people-focused nature leads them towards generating excitement and bringing people together. They have an idea, they're excited about it, they want everybody to join in. And that approach really works a lot of the time. They accomplish a lot using that strength, and that's why you rely on it if you're a high I, because it works for you.
Yeah, it does. It's a part of what's gotten you to where you are. It's a big part of it, if it's part of your natural tendencies. High I's are the ideas people. We have the best stories and the most friends. We know a guy. We always know a guy. And high I's are able to influence others through communicating, collaborative activity. High I's are really convincing. Often, high I's are magnetic. They're enthusiastic, persuasive, demonstrative. There's that big gestures piece again. Trusting and optimistic. They see the world as positive and favorable to them. And that makes them fun to be around. It makes them fun to talk to and listen to. And high eyes are articulate. I always joke when I say something incorrect or something that's kind of mushy that the high eyes gift for words might just be a function of the law of averages.
They high say eyes, a lot of words.
We talk so much that there's an increased likelihood that our words will be better. And so if you've been to a conference with me or a training with me, you've heard me say this. And I have talked about it in terms of Mark and I being really high I and talking so much. And then more words means more likelihood that you sound really good. So there is that. High I's, though, often are really good at putting words together that sound really pretty. And there's kind of the idea of could sell ice to Eskimos thing. High I's could convince you of a lot of stuff, and they love to do it. They love to talk. We love to talk to humans. Side note, I, as a person who talks a lot, am a little worried that my poor sweet husband, who is a high D, high C, has just been gifted a new person in his life, because I think our son might also be chatty, because I talk all day to our son and he can't talk, but he certainly responds to it. So we'll see what Gary ends up living with, if he ends up living with both high eyes in his household, which would be much to his chagrin.
And to say that it's not a family trait thing, because
yes, right.
I am the only high D in my family. I am the cuckoo, I always say, in my family. I was yeah. born somewhere else. The rest of my household are all reserved, so I'm the only one making noise. So we'll see.
There's no way for us to know about Clayton and what his profile will be. Nature versus nurture, we don't know. If we knew that answer, y'all, we would be worth so much
yes,
money.
Exactly.
We'd be worth so much money. I love y'all, but I would not be sitting here. I would be on a boat in the Virgin Islands. And it's almost 11, so the chef would be making, you know, brunch and cocktails because I would have just woken up. Okay, so back to high I. If you're a self-aware high I, you might have noticed that sometimes your enthusiasm carries you from one exciting project to another without completing what you started, much like me going off on a tangent about boats in the middle of this podcast. Sometimes high I's inspire everyone with vision and then struggle to follow through on implementation, completion, the last couple steps involved, that kind of thing. Or high I's find themselves bouncing between multiple projects, drawn to whatever is the focus of the most energy or the conversation that feels most fun, rather than actually finishing things and putting that bow on it at the very end. It's a pitfall.
So we're going to suggest for you And instead of simply getting people excited with no structure, taking a little bit of time to make a plan, to think about how you're going to maintain the momentum, and creating a framework for accountability will help you stop starting lots of projects that don't end. Mm-hmm. We know you're brilliant at creating ideas and enthusiasm, but if you can channel that energy consistently towards finishing projects, you're going to be the best person in the entire company because you're brilliant and you finish things. That's the two things. It just multiplies the impact you have.
Right. Focus of that energy through the end, right?
Yeah.
And we understand. Well, I understand. Documenting plans is boring. Writing down your goals and the steps to achieve them, whether it's on paper or in a document with a cool, you know, task management system, whatever, it will help you translate your vision into accomplishments. And we want to help you do that, because what good is your vision if you abandon it without seeing it through? There is something to be said definitely for seeing your progress visually. So if you're using a task management system or some kind of tracking project status tool, it can provide some positive feedback to you to motivate you to continue, right? Especially when the initial excitement of a project fades, and it can. And additionally, if we're talking about setting these goals, documenting them, having the tasks laid out, making sure that we're going step by step, this documented plan makes it easier to bring other people along that will allow you to have a team and keep them. And that's something that's really fun to have around, is a group of people who are there to help you and work with you, brainstorm with you, all that. It's really hard to do that if they can't see your plan, they can't see the next steps. It almost doesn't allow for them to be involved at all if there's no, you know, purpose as we move through things. And it also will make them feel that your amazing ideas will come to fruition. It's more likely for them to engage with your awesome plans if they know, okay, this is actually going to work out. This isn't some flavor of the month squirrel idea that's going to just like go back. I guess, you know, it's unfortunate that they chose, I mean, obviously the squirrel comment is from a cartoon about a dog, but groundhog would be better for high eyes, right? Groundhog. And then they go back, because they go back down.
Yes.
And then they disappear. And high eyes do that. I have this idea. Oh, it just got away.
Disappear. Yeah. I had someone talking about the app Airtable this morning. And they were a marketing person who had plans and was talking about how helpful it is for visual tracking. And one of the reasons they switched to Airtable was because it had more colors than the app they were already using. Just such a high eye comment. Dear. So.
Well, whatever floats your boat.
Indeed. But career growth is a long haul. It's something you have to do, boring, over months or years. And if you have smaller sub-goals, so you have this idea and you work that idea through to the end, and then you work the next idea through to the end, that helps keep you on track. It also gives you those endorphin, I finished something, and like everybody's giving me praise for it. And having specific goals encourages people to support you. It's really hard for the people around you to support you in your I want to be promoted effort, for example, when you haven't finished anything. You have great ideas, but none of them ever actually happen, and the company never actually gets the revenue that you think they can engender if you never actually finish something. So we know you can inspire everybody at the beginning, but working in an organization means you need other people's practical support if you want to get where you want to go. And some of that means channeling some energy into planning, having a plan, and being able to visualize it and get everybody on board with it.
Mm-hmm. Additionally, the pause that's required to get all this kind of in place and written down and thought through a little bit gives you a chance to ask yourself if what you want to achieve is aligned with the organization's goals. The more often the two coincide, the more likely it is that you'll be successful within the organization in addition to being successful in your own view. Yeah. because it's a high I, it's likely that you have a lot of ideas and a great many of them aren't even something that your business is invested in or interested in. I still think one of the best ideas I've ever had was around augmented reality and historical city tours. And we don't do that at all. In fact, when I told Mark about it, I remember we were sitting there and he said, "That's a really good idea. Could you try to come up with ideas like that for management? Because that's not..."
That's not
I just remember he was trying so hard to be nice and also like, please put your brain on something else. Which is totally valid. And this was, we were having this conversation on a Saturday, so it was the day for it. But yeah, I mean, having a really good idea doesn't mean that it's a work idea. High eyes have all kinds of ideas, and a lot of them might not be work ideas. So we got to choose our resources and our hours strategically. And also, we got to use our connections strategically, right?
Yeah, because high eyes love making friends, and a high eye always knows someone. And Kate will come back from a conference and tell us about the person she met on the plane in the lounge, then just standing in the TSA line. I don't meet any of people in any of those places because I don't talk to people in any of those places. I am just trying to get through that piece as quickly as possible and as focused as possible, and all of those people are just in my way. But this is an awesome strength that high eyes have, that they know everybody and they always have a friend and they always have a guy. But being able to use those connections when they're needed means maintaining those relationships. And sometimes that means a routine task, you know, getting back in contact with someone you met on a plane 3 months ago and keeping that contact going so that when you need it, you can use it. That comes back to mundane, boring, and high eyes aren't great at mundane and boring.
Yeah. So I have a monthly reminder to reach out to 5 people in my network. And yesterday was actually my day just because of my scheduling, whatever. And I reached out to some people. And I have to say, it feels really, really nice to reach out when you're just checking in. It's really great. It allows for you to learn things about the people who you know that are kind of off topic. If you reach out with a specific topic to somebody, or heaven forbid, a specific ask when you haven't talked to them in a while, you only get the conversation pointed in that direction. If you reach out and say, "Hey, how's it going? Checking in." I actually said something like, "How's your springtime?" kind of stuff to people because it's so nice outside here. And then you end up having different conversations. You know more about people. That's how you get a guy, is that you have these conversations that are completely off topic and you find out that the golf pro you know also used to manage and tour with NoFX and also Ron White, which is how I know that person. So that's the kind of stuff that happens. Those are the kind of like, I know a guy conversations that happen. And it can be very routine. It can be very much, "Hey, how are you doing?" Because then you're not reaching out with an ask. And we recommend this because if you reach out to a high C and you say, "Hey, I'm in town, let's get together," they don't feel like it's a spontaneous, exciting event. Honestly, they would probably rather stay home. The fact that you've not thought ahead and you haven't made plans with them before you got to town maybe makes them think that it's an afterthought. It's not a high priority for you. It also maybe makes them think that you think they don't have anything else going on because most people are pretty busy on a Tuesday night with their own priorities, right? So what we want to recommend is, in addition to keeping your network warm, which we've talked about in other casts, practice looking ahead on your calendar, looking for opportunities to connect, make plans. The high S's and C's in your network will really appreciate the time and consideration more than the, "Hey, what are you doing?" impromptu invitation style that you may feel totally comfortable with. I do have a friend who is maybe even more high eye than me and moved back to Austin a couple years ago, reached out, said, "Hey, sushi tonight?" Hadn't heard from him in couple of years. That works for me. I can tell you, it's a big drain for some of the other profiles.
Right. Heidi is like, no, I have plans for the next 3 months. And you just ruined my plan. No, I don't want to do something impromptu. And the high seasonesses are like, really? That's all you think of me? That I might be free in 10 right. minutes time? No. So thinking ahead and making plans ahead of time, even if it's just like a week or a couple of weeks, is better than they in half an hour.
Yeah, we're just trying to help you understand that it works for about half the people in your network and the other, your style works for about half the people in your network and the other half need a little bit more time.
Exactly. Yeah. So another thing to do is identify the relationships which will enhance your career and then make an actual list of the names of people with whom you want to have a relationship and when that's going to start. And be strategic, have a stay in touch list and spend 15 minutes each morning working through that list, meaning you don't just have friends, you actually have relationships with people who are going to help you with your career. It's great that you are besties with the janitor. We want you to do that because having a relationship with anybody in the building is great. On the other hand, spending some time getting to know your boss's peer or someone on another team that works with you frequently may be more career enhancing than spending more time with the janitor, even if that person is more fun.
You can also serve other styles on your team by lending them your relationships. As a high I, your network is probably much larger than that of other people, and your rapport with colleagues and stakeholders can help bridge gaps, ease tension, open doors that others might struggle to access. So we want to encourage you, say to your peers, your colleagues, hey, I know somebody who can help us with that. Offer up your connections a little bit and consider that your social strengths can make collaboration smoother and more effective for the whole team rather than just you. I find that as a high I, this is something I really like to do. I really like to introduce my friends to my friends. And I hope that they become friends. I actually just did this. My friend from Idaho who moved to San Antonio had brunch with my friends in Phoenix.
See, that's cool. And that's something, you know, if you're a high C on a team, you find that kind of introduction really difficult. And having someone do it for you and say, hey, these people are going to, they can do brunch on Sunday in 3 weeks. Can you? And having someone set that up for you takes away a lot of that social effort that you find so easy, the high C probably finds much more difficult. And just having all of that taken away for them makes them much more likely to actually attend the brunch.
Okay, so the full story here is that even though my friend from Idaho moved to Phoenix in June of last year, this group of people just had brunch last weekend. And you want to know that two of the people involved have high C in their profile. So
it takes a while.
It took months. To be fair, many people at this brunch had just had a baby in the last year. That really makes it a lot harder to go places and do things. And yeah, it took months. You know, I could land in Phoenix tonight and be at brunch.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Brunch is technically a morning thing, but that's okay. It's just different.
It's just different.
And tolerances are different.
Yeah. It's about using the strength.
Looking for a way to take your career to the next level, whether you're just starting out or already a seasoned professional, the Career Tools license was probably built for you. Want to get promoted, change industries, build confidence and professional skills? We've got you covered. For less than $15 a month, you get the tools, guidance, and resources you need to grow on your terms. Learn more at manager-tools.com/memberships.
So next up, follow through. Something else you're great at. So your ideas and ways of bringing disparate people and functions together, like Kate just suggested, are one of your unique contributions to the organization. And when executives are looking to people that they think can be promoted or lead teams or lead projects, they're looking for people who can follow through and finish things for a reason, because the ideas are of no use at all if they're not realized. It's great to have an idea. I had an idea yesterday about how we could make revenue. If I never finish that idea and never actually make any revenue, it's of no use to manage tools whatsoever. So this follow-through thing is really important if you want your career to go where you want it to go.
Yeah. When you make promises and forget to follow through, which high eyes do, because by the way, high eyes, if you say something out loud at work, it sounds like it might go somewhere. So sometimes you just say something like, ooh, wouldn't it be cool? That's something we do. And 30 minutes later, we've forgotten because we have a new, oh, would it be cool? So when you do that, high C's and high S's, don't view this as charming or even as a function of an accident or human failing. They don't see it as something that just you were just saying, oh, what about? In fact, they judge you on instead your ability to complete projects because that's when the idea's value is realized. And because they complete projects, so they expect other people to do so. If you keep this in mind, recognize that being a high I who also delivers on ideas and promises is going to give you value in the organization at the level that you think you deserve.
Yeah, there's something about the way we all think, that everybody thinks the way we do, that high I's, I think all styles miss. So high I's think, oh, everybody forgets to follow through because I forget to follow through. And the high C's think, I don't forget to follow through. I have a list. I check it off. Why doesn't this high I do that? They must be incompetent or unprofessional. And they label you because they have a different way of thinking about the world and a different way of working. And they judge you by their way of working because we all judge each other by the way we think, not by the way we think others think.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine how the other person thinks, honestly. Even the idea of how the high C's brain functions, I don't know what that looks like. I don't swim in those waters.
It's like the thing, some people have an internal narrator who talks all day in their brain, and some people don't. And when the people who don't discover that other people do, they're like, what that must be like. And the people who think, who have one and discover that people don't, are like, wow, your brain must be so quiet. And neither of us can imagine what the other version is like. And that's similar with this.
Wait, do you have a narrator?
I do have a narrator.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay, good. You can write in and tell us. If you're a high I and you have a narrator, like, tell us. I'd love to know if those two things correlate.
And my narrator has to talk out loud a lot in order to be useful. So that's a really fun one because she doesn't stay inside all the time, which... Poof.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a little tricky. So, okay. Just remember, people don't forgive inability to complete tasks based on value of ideas. That's not where the value comes from if it's incomplete. So, if you can delegate detail and follow through work, please do. We know you don't like having to be in the weeds. I support you, and it causes work to feel less exciting. We understand. If you don't have people to delegate to, you could try task switching with colleagues. You could try some lateral swaps for tasking and effort. You can make friends with a high C who could check your work in exchange for making an introduction. That's a really good way to balance our strengths with each other to increase the greater good of the team. That's maybe because you don't have somebody to delegate to, right? And if you do, you can't delegate everything, so bear that in mind. But it's definitely worth considering asking for help with this detail and follow-through work.
And everybody has a weakness. And saying, I know I have a weakness, can you help me with this, is actually a very human thing to do, and it makes other people like you more. So don't worry about it. Another counterintuitive way for high I's to stay focused on work is to work with others. And that seems like it could lead to a lot of unproductive conversations and distractions, but actually collaborating with someone else can provide the discipline that you need. So a high D will offer task focus in a no-nonsense way. You know, if you work with a high D, they will make you focus on the tasks. I used to work for Mark, and he can be a little high I. I used to write out a table with 10 tasks on it and put gold stars on them. when we completed them. And then we get to the bottom of the page and he'd be, is that all we have to do today? And I'd be like, that's it. That's all we're doing today. Because that way we could do another 10 tomorrow rather than doing 20 in one day and being exhausted. So high C's will keep focus on the details, provided that you are truly committed to staying on track. If the high C is really working hard with the details and then you're blowing them off or making it seem like you don't value that work, then they're soon going to, like, I'm not playing this game. But if you can be committed, that will work. If you're not committed or if you're not paying attention, you can easily steamroll the high C and go, oh, yeah, that's not worth doing. And then they won't want to help you.
Yeah. There's also a little bit of danger when you have two high eyes. But if you have two high eyes who are aware of their tendencies, they can work together effectively if you're both going to hold yourselves accountable when things get unproductive. So a collaborative approach between high eyes and honestly, two high eyes or any of the profiles is one that uses the high eyes' social nature, but still provides external structure and accountability. So we're balancing those two things. And you can always have somebody else hold you accountable if that's how you want to go about it. It's a good one.
It works well in the right circumstance. Okay, last one. Quantify your achievements. Now, we all know that the high I's are awesome. Everybody in your vicinity knows that you're awesome. But the high D's and the high C's who are more data-based want to see the data that proves that you're awesome. And so what we want to do is create tangible proof of your intangible skills or tangible proof of sort of what feels like I'm being great. We need some data.
Yeah. The way to do this is to track your accomplishments. Tracking your accomplishments boosts your own morale because you have a record of the value of your brain to the organization. It shows you, you can literally see what you're getting done. When you capture your wins, big or small, tasking, big ones, numbers, et cetera, you really can give yourself a confidence boost. You can make it easier for yourself to see these things that you're doing awesome. And it's a great way to show others your contributions. You have proof, essentially, that you're awesome, not just a feeling, which is really important because it turns out corporate systems also require evidence.
Yeah. We know your customers love you, but the corporate system actually requires some numbers that prove they've bought some stuff from you if you're in sales, for example, and that they've done that more than once. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, although actually I think this is changing, it used to be that emoticons like a heart or a smiley face didn't fit in corporate systems. And I think in the last 5 years, they probably do, but still three hearts is not as valuable as $10,000, for example.
Yeah, it's funny that you said $10,000. I was going to say three hearts is not the same as $3
million. That's true, too. It doesn't matter how the amount is.
Same.
The hearts count for the high eyes, but the corporate systems require numbers. It's very boring, but it is essential. If you want career growth, which is what we're talking about.
Right. Even testimonials, while they're valuable, they're not enough on their own, right? They need to be translated into metrics that the organization can measure and track. Most often, the classic example of, course, revenue. An enthusiastic client email, which praises your service, also needs data showing increased spending, faster problem resolution times, improved retention rates, etc., that both the organization and high C's love. It's really important to keep in mind that in most performance reviews and promotion decisions, measurable results will outweigh even 1,000 heart emojis and testimonials and declarations of absolute love. Just not the same.
You can always tell a high I resume because it has testimonials on it, which are, I have to tell you, on your resume, completely useless because resumes are about facts and testimonials aren't facts, they're feelings.
I'm sorry, are you suggesting that you have seen more than one resume with testimonials on it?
Oh, for sure. Yes. Hundreds.
Oh, dear.
high eyes want to have fun while achieving their goals. And we believe in you. We absolutely want you to have fun. But by adding structure to your creativity, maintaining your valuable network systemically or systematically, following through on your brilliant ideas and quantifying the impact, you can advance your career and bring your authentic self to work every day. The most successful IIs are not dimming their awesomeness. We're not telling you, become a corporate drone. You can be your high I, exciting and awesome self. Just focus it for maximum impact.
Awesome.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. Join us next week when we're going to help the high S's. Bye, everyone.